Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Young man, I'd like to ask you a question on the radio. Do you mind? First of all, how many ounces is that cup of coffee, dude?
Well, this is not a cup of coffee.
What do you got in there?
I have tea.
You got tea?
Yeah.
This is like 80 ounces?
I wouldn't know, to be honest with you.
It's a lot. Where do you come from, young man?
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua?
Yeah.
Terrific. And what are you studying here?
Mathematics.
Mathematics. Tell me, have you been following what's been going on with the American government about the bailout plan?
I've heard about it, but I can't say that I have been following it.
What is your economic approach to the world? Are you a capitalist? Are you a socialist?
I would say that I'm a combination between a capitalist and a socialist.
Tell me what that looks like.
Friendly competition.
Okay.
Cooperation with other companies.
That's capitalism. What's the socialism part?
The cooperation part, I think that there's some things that should not be in hands of companies, such as education or electricity, water, healthcare.
How come?
Because health is something that should be available to all, for it's in the best interest of all to have healthy citizens in their countries.
You'd like the government to do that because you don't think that individuals can be charitable and take care of people who are sick?
I think that the government is the most capable of undertaking.
Most capable? Really?
Yeah.
So what makes government more capable?
They are there to serve the people.
But isn't that what healthcare is about, though? Serving people? Isn't that what they're there to do?
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many things with health insurance and I mean, it's so expensive to get.
I agree with that.
You know,
where did you come up with this view? How did you learn this, or where did you get these ideas?
Well, I would say it's from compassion, some basic human values, some Christian values.
You're a Christian.
Yes, I can say that I am, but that does not mean that I haven't looked at other religions as well and consider what good they have to say.
What does Christianity teach?
Christianity teaches to love thy neighbor as you love thyself, which is a pretty universal.
Why should I become a Christian? If I'm not a Christian, why would you tell me I should become a Christian?
Well, I don't say that you should become a Christian, but I think you should at least look at the Christian values because they're universal.
So it's a good way to live?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay, here's
I'm not saying you should become a Christian, but I think you should look into it.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm living good. I've got health insurance. I'm taken care of medically. I've got a wife and kids, a dog. Little annoying, but overall pretty good. I don't think I need Christianity.
No, I didn't say you need it, but maybe you want it.
Why?
You don't need it, but a lot of people around you are Christians. I mean, I'm sure you have Christian friends, so I think it's a good way to relate to them if you learn a little bit about what they believe in. I'm sure that people who are around you...
Here's how I understand Christianity.
Okay. Right?
This is what I've learned about Christianity, is that it's not about a set of rules on how to live life.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that from a lot of different people and a lot of religious systems. What's unique about Christianity is it says something that's different than every religious worldview. Every other religious worldview says, do good, and be rewarded when you're done.
Mm.
Christianity says something completely different. The Bible says nobody does good, no, not one. That everybody's a sinner, right?
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a sinner?
Yes.
How do you know?
I live in this world.
Yeah. And you know, and you've got something called a conscience, that little thing that goes, oh boy, I did wrong again.
Yeah.
For instance, when you tell lies, something inside of you says, I shouldn't be doing that, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For instance, Jesus, did he not say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart?
Yes.
Have you ever done that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's something inside of you that says, that was wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. correct?
Yeah.
Because that's a dirty thing to do. Or look at pornography, mm-hmm. or fornication, sex outside of marriage.
Yeah.
Even taking God's name in vain. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's blasphemy. The Bible says God will not hold him blameless who takes his name in vain. And that's why the Bible proclaims nobody does good, no, not one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. What's your first name?
Francisco.
Francisco, if you died and God judged you,
mm-hmm.
he knows your thought life, your deeds, your actions, your failures, everything that you've ever done in darkness,
mm-hmm.
would he find you innocent or guilty?
I think that depends on what set of criteria he judged me by.
Lusting, lying, stealing, blasphemy, dishonoring parents.
He would find me guilty.
Guilty. So what should God do with you? Send you to heaven or hell?
I think he should send me somewhere in between.
But there isn't any place like that. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, then judgment.
Well,
guilty, heaven or hell.
I think he should send me back to this earth then.
We like that idea because the thought of going to hell is horrible.
No.
Okay, Francisco, this is where you should be going. Hold it, hold it. That's why Jesus came to this earth and died on a cross to take the punishment for my sins. That's what Christianity teaches.
Well,
right?
Yes, it is. It is what Christianity
teaches.
That's
the biggie. That's the good news of the gospel. You're a sinner, but God died to save you. He doesn't have to punish you if justice is satisfied. Jesus paid your fine by dying on a cross so you can be set free. You can be found not guilty because of what Jesus did. That's Christianity. And that's why I need it, and that guy on roller skates there needs it. Everybody needs it because we've all sinned and fallen short. God must punish us because he's good and righteous, but he's merciful, and he sent his son to live on this earth to take the punishment we deserve, to die on a cross for you, a guy who looks at women and lusts and lies and dishonors parents and steals and cheats, all those things that we've done. He died knowing that you would do those things because he's good. And the Bible says we must repent. Admit we're not good, we're sinners,
mm-hmm.
apologize and turn from our sins and put our trust in Jesus and him alone, not Muhammad or Allah or Buddha or the great spirit of the plain, but in Jesus Christ, the only God that lives, the only God that there is, and he says he'll forgive your sins and grant you everlasting life. Have you done that? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
I've repented and put my trust in Jesus.
So when you die, you're going to heaven for sure because your sins are forgiven.
Will I be going to heaven? Well, you know, I try to think about this and my actions every day. Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Okay, so the Bible says, examine yourself and see if you're in the truth. So I'm going to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
It's between you and God. I'm not your judge. Are you in the truth? Have you repented, died to yourself, turned from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus and him alone? You examine yourself and see.
Well, what does it mean to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone?
Well, right now, most of us trust in ourselves. The way that I'm living, I'm doing pretty good. I'm trusting in me. I'm trusting in money. Trust in Jesus.
Okay.
That what he said is true, that he's God, and that he stooped to save you. Trust in that.
I trust in that.
All right, dude. All right.
I trust in that, absolutely.
All right.
But at the same time, he told us to be compassionate.
I agree completely. But our compassion comes because we have been shown so much compassion.
Indeed.
And that's why we do
so
that.
But the thing is, I mean, how should we approach other world religions?
Well, here's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me.
Okay.
The Bible makes it clear throughout.
Yeah.
Every other world system is wrong. They're wrong.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ also says the most important thing is to be compassionate. And I think it's very compassionate.
It's to love God.
Yeah, and to love God would also mean to look at the messages that he has given to the other people in the world.
Yeah, those messages don't come from him.
You don't know that.
Oh, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. That's it.
Okay, that's true. The Bible does say that.
And he didn't.
However, he did say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Yes, Jesus Christ is great. I love the Bible. I like to read the Bible. But you can't know for sure that hasn't been perverted by evil men in the world. And there's no saying. I mean, there's absolutely no saying.
Well,
it's all right. I understand. Don't worry about it. I love Jesus Christ. I love that message. But I'm not going to forsake all the other knowledge and all the other world's history and not learn at least one little bit about them, not consider them. If you want someone to convert to Christianity, how will you preach your message if you don't first learn about their religion? Well, isn't that not hypocrisy?
Well, you're assuming I don't know about their religion. I do.
Okay. 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 And how much do you know?
Here's what Islam teaches.
Have you read the book?
The Quran?
Have you read the Quran?
I have read a lot of it. How much do I need to read? The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Have you read the whole thing?
No.
Oh. So this is what the Quran teaches. Mm-hmm. Okay. That you have to obey five pillars of Islam, and then maybe Allah.
What are the five pillars?
Yeah, you know, you've got to go on a Hajj. You've got to do your tithes, your prayers.
Okay. What are the Hajj?
To take a pilgrimage to Mecca or Medina.
Okay.
The Bible says you don't do any of those things. You repent and trust the Savior, and He will save you. We don't save ourselves. Mm-hmm. Islam says save yourself. Jesus says you can't. I will save you. That's the difference, dude.
That's great. You know,
but here's what the Bible says that you say that you love, Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
There are no other gods. There is no other. He is it. All the other ones are idols, either made up in people's minds or made up out of a piece of wood and put on a mantle. Jesus and Jesus alone is God, and He is your Savior. All right?
I hope Jesus forgives you.
All right. Thanks for the chat, all right, dude? Enjoy your tea. All right?
Thanks
very much. You are listening to, see how well that economic conversation went? Wretched Radio.
Okay, so if you admit it, you're like the rest of us. You've got 47 streaming services, and you're paying for at least six of them. But somehow, every night, you sit down on the couch and you say, there's nothing to watch. Meanwhile, Fortis Plus is sitting right there for free on your Roku, your Fire TV, Apple TV, Android. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content on theology, marriage, parenting, manhood, cultural issues, stuff that actually matters. And you know what? We keep adding more. Yeah, of course, you could scroll through Netflix for like 45 minutes looking for something that won't rot your brain, or you could pull up Fortis Plus and learn something that'll actually help you be a better husband, dad, or Christian by the time the credits roll. Download the Fortis Plus app right now. It is absolutely free, and it's on your TV. And unlike that true crime documentary that you've watched three times at least, it might actually do you some good.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now. Except one. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it the way it was meant to be preached, until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. And Todd will be the first to tell you, he's after more than just your attention. He preaches to stir your heart, because a king this glorious deserves to be loved, and a heart that loves him follows him gladly. So come and hear for yourself what happens when the Word of God lifts Christ up where he belongs. Exalt the King with Todd Friel. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on FortisPlus.org.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's Word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the Word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy Word to humanity, through which He makes Himself known and continues to draw us to Himself.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This young man right here. Mr. Myrtle Beach, while you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio? You up for that?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name?
I'm Oren.
Oren?
Yep.
That is an unusual name. Where'd that come from?
It's a family name. I'm actually the seventh.
Get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
What's the heritage? What is your... careful of the mud here. Walk over here, young man. What's the heritage? Where does that come from?
Not exactly sure. I don't know.
But you had a great Oren.
Yes.
From what country?
I'd assume English, maybe some Scottish. I don't know exactly.
All right, what are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
I'm a mechanical engineer.
Because you want to be a mechanical engineer, don't you?
I do.
Yeah? What does that mean? What does a mechanical engineer do?
A mechanical engineer can do anything.
Like, well, not anything.
Well, I mean, everybody needs an engineer. And if you want an engineer, you might as well get a mechanical engineer because we can do a little of everything.
So you could do what an electrical engineer does?
Not in as much detail, but we do take a few courses on electrical engineering.
Okay, so here's what I just learned. Kind of, you would be like the general practice doctor of engineering.
That's exactly it.
As opposed to a specialist in whatever it happened to be.
Right, right. We're the backbone. They're the details.
Got it. And is there a little bit of an attitude between the different camps?
I mean, not really. I think the engineers
are pretty
united. I
sensed a little coming from you that if you're going to get an engineer, get a mechanical engineer. Like, you guys are better than the rest.
I would not say we were better than the rest. I say without them, we'd have no purpose. So it's important to keep your allies.
All right. Speaking of purpose, what do you think your purpose in life is? I mean, yeah, you want to be a mechanical engineer, but you know the big thing. What's the point? What are you doing? Where are you going?
I'm actually looking into the business market.
No. I'm talking kind of philosophically, not just how you make a paycheck. What is your purpose? Why are you, Oren, seventh generation, here?
That is a good question, and if I had a good answer, I would give it.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Have you pondered it?
I have thought about it, but I've not come to any conclusions.
Have you gotten warm?
Have I gotten warm?
Yeah, have you come up with, I'm here to make money. The purpose of life is to have fun, eat, drink, and be merry. The purpose in life is to glorify God. The purpose in life is to what?
I think it's, a combination. I mean, there's no direct answers for me, let alone anyone else. It's...
Are you a postmodern? Do you know what that means?
Not in much detail.
A postmodern would say, you can believe whatever you want to. That's your truth. It's valid because you believe it. It can be completely different than my truth, but it's still true for you. Would that describe you?
In a way, I'd say it would.
Okay, so here, let me ask you this question. I happen to be... Here's my answer to the purpose question.
Okay.
I'm a Christian.
All right, I am as well.
You are as well. I think the goal in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. All right? Would you agree with that?
I would agree that is a very good purpose in life. I mean, it's...
Okay, change that then. I'm a Hindu, and I believe the purpose in life is to lose all of my desires so that ultimately I can enter nirvana, or what's their paradigm? Enter into nothingness. That's my purpose in life. Here's my question.
All right.
Do you think I'm wrong?
You're not hurting anyone.
Not the question. Do you think I'm wrong?
Do I think you're wrong?
Yes, sir. I'm a Hindu. The purpose in life is to lose all desires so that I can be connected to the great big divine. Whatever that happens to be.
Well, that's a very... I mean, it's an opinion question. So my opinion is I'm a Christian and I believe in the Christian faith. So...
But do you believe
I'm wrong?
I'll take it another level for you. You ready for this
one?
All right. I believe that the great big goddess of the universe is Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if I say Lady Gaga's name 16 times right before I die, I'm going to spend paradise in Funky Town with Lady Gaga, singing her greatest hit. What is it? Do you remember the song?
I don't even know.
Okay. So I'm going to be singing Lady Gaga songs for eternity in Funky Town with Lady Gaga. Do you think I'm wrong, Oren?
Well, I guess you're always opinionated by your own beliefs, so yes, I think you're wrong.
There you go. Because if you're fighting it on the inside going, well, no, you're not wrong because that's what you believe, that's postmodernism.
Okay.
Which says, you can believe whatever you want to, and it's right for you, even though I believe it's completely different than what I believe.
All right.
So the question really is, if I'm wrong, who's right? Who do you think is right philosophically when it comes to God? Do you think you're right?
Well, I obviously think I'm right because I believe what I think, but I guess I can't prove it, just as you can't prove that Lady Gaga isn't the supreme being.
No, but I don't have a whole lot of evidence for it, do I?
No, you don't.
Why are you a Christian, Oren?
Well, I guess it started, I mean, I was born a Christian, I went to church, and I just believed, and I mean, thought about it, and it seemed true to me.
Okay. What denomination?
Non-denominational.
Non-denominational. So, you would say that you are a Christian, and would you also say that is so evident in your life? If I assembled all of your friends, they would say the most important thing in Oren's life is Jesus Christ. Would they say that?
I don't believe that they would. I follow the Bible. I believe in the Bible. I try to live the way the Bible portrays how you're supposed to live. But, I mean, I'm not widely open about it. I don't know what you're looking for exactly.
Nothing specific. If I asked you the question, would you consider yourself to be a good person? What would you say?
I would say that, yes, I believe I'm a good person.
How come?
I mean, I care about other people. I want to make sure that no injustices are done to them.
The Bible says that everybody is sinful by nature and corrupt and wicked at heart. And all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. How do you harmonize that with your opinion that you're a good person?
Well, drawing a blank here, this is a good question. Will you restate it in a slightly different way?
The Bible says you're a bad person.
Okay.
You said you're a good person.
Right.
Something's not making sense.
Well, I'm not a perfect person. I have sins. I commit injustices. That's because I'm a human, and it's natural for humans to make mistakes.
Do you remember a time in your life, because you're how old now?
22.
Sometime in your life when, you know, you were born into the church and you maybe grew up going to church and you learned the Jesus songs and that's just what you did because mom and dad did. But you, as a man, when you really thought it over and you realized, you know what, that whole Bible thing, it's very true. And I'm a very bad man and I'm a very bad sinner and I need to be forgiven by God.
Yes, I definitely believe that.
Yeah. When did that happen for you?
It happened long ago. I can't give you a time or anything, but I've always been aware of that I do make mistakes, that I'm not perfect, and I definitely need to be forgiven for my mistakes. So I ask for forgiveness for
when Jesus said a man must be born again or he will not see the kingdom of God. Do you believe that you have been born again?
I definitely believe I've been born again.
When did that happen?
I believe I made the prayer, I think I got the feeling around 7 or 8, and then I talked to my parents about it and asked them how to become born again. Yes.
Yeah. And what did they say?
Well, I prayed with my mother, and you got to take Jesus into your heart, accept that you do have sins, and he died on this earth for your sins.
Fine.
And
did you repent?
Yes, I was definitely sorry for my sins and still am currently.
And did you turn from your sins?
In some ways, yes. In other ways, no. I mean, try to do what's right, but I still do commit sins. I'm aware of. I'm sorry I do.
This is a good test, Oren. Christians sin. You're right about that. We do sin. The difference, though, between a Christian and somebody who's self-deceived is a real Christian does sin, but it's a falling into sin. We fall, we hate it, get back up straight away, apologize, and get back to serving God. A false convert or somebody who's not a Christian, they live in sin. They wake up, they plan it, they plot it, they do it, don't care much that they've done it, and then they go to bed and they get up and they repeat the process, and they live a lifestyle of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the former or the latter when you say that you sin?
I don't live in sin. I don't ignore my sins every day. I'm very well aware and I'm very sorry for them, and I try to rectify them and not to commit the same sins again.
Do you know for sure that if you died right now, that you'd be going to heaven?
I do.
How come?
Because I believe what the Bible says, that if you accept Jesus in your heart and you ask for forgiveness, that you will be forgiven and accepted into heaven.
Okay, so you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that's
your
eternity.
Yes, sir.
So I don't need to witness to you. You're good to go.
I'm good to go.
Rock on.
Awesome.
Nice to meet you, Oren.
It's nice to meet you, too.
All right, dude. Go mechanical engineer.
All right, thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Can I get your name?
My name is Todd.
Todd?
Yes. Nice to meet you, Oren. What do you think? How did Oren do? That's an example where when somebody says that they are a Christian and they say that they accepted Jesus or asked Jesus into their heart at the age of 7 or 8, it is good to probe. It is good to dig in. It is good to make sure that somebody understands the gospel clearly. Now, is that fellow saved? I sure hope so, don't you?